This is Shayna.
And Chris.
And we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right, this week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have hard maxing. Hard maxing is the practice of improving your physical appearance by any means necessary and mostly involves plastic surgery. The example is hard maxing can include face implants, nose jobs, fillers, jaw surgery, etc. A hallmark of hard maxing is that the enhancement is essentially permanent to some degree. Just with like my little incel diary, I got diary, incel dictionary of things. Diary. What's funny is my cousin, every time, who's again still dating, anytime she feels like she's wrong, she's like, I'm just going to be an incel. And I was like, you by definition cannot, like most of them are virgins and have never had sex. I was like, you would get kicked out. Mm. You would get kicked out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why she moves to that immediately. So anyways, what do you have?
So funny. I am back on the deep internet. So the fun slang terms. And so my Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is Bambi lesbian. Bambi lesbian. So that's a lesbian who prefers cuddles, hugs, kisses, and other affectionate and sensual non-sexual acts over the actual sexual act. So they'd rather cuddle you than fuck you.
Bambi.
Bambi lesbian. So my sentence is basically stating that, you know what? Studs can be Bambi lesbians too. Hmm. Bambi lesbian. All right, Bambi. Let's go ahead over and praise Billy Porter, because there was a lot that happened, and you know, this week is a very U.S. centric news updates. So, you know, hopefully you've heard of most of the things that are happening out here. So we're gonna have our first category is we're starting with shitty news.
That's the category. Shitty news. Well, there were six Black, trans, and gender nonconforming people killed in the U.S. in the last month, in the month of October. This is according to Pittsburgh Lesbian Correspondence, which tracks information about transgender, non-binary, and gender nonconforming people who have died by violence. We want to say rest in peace to Skylar Harrison of Washington, D.C., Anae Roberson of Washington, D.C., China Long of Milwaukee, Dominic Dupree of Chicago, Lisa Love of Chicago, and London Price of Miami. According to the HRC, there's been at least 25 violent killings of transgender and GNC people this year. They say at least because deaths of transgender people frequently go unreported or misreported. The Pittsburgh Lesbian Correspondence lists 35 transgender, non-binary, and GNC people who have died by violence in the U.S. in 2023. My goodness, words today. And just to frame all of this, according to UCLA's School of Law Williams Institute, transgender people are over four times more likely to be victims of violent crimes than cisgender men and women. Trans people of color are particularly vulnerable. According to a 2022 HRC report, 83% of known victims of fatal violence against transgender and gender nonconforming people since 2013 were people of color. While 63% were transgender women of color. So this continues a violent trend. Again, these laws and these opinions that we always talk about aren't in a vacuum. It's not real effects, and it hits our community the hardest. So rest in peace to everyone who's lost their lives this year. And a particularly violent month. October was so violent. It was... honestly, besides my birthday, it was a pretty awful month. Mm-hmm. So rest in peace to all of those who lost their lives.
All right. Yeah. Rest in power to all of those. I don't like that each year it feels like it's seasonal that these things happen. Like, we know that it consistently happens and it has continued to increase. And it's just like, but then it feels like it spikes at certain times. And it's just, it's, it's heartbreaking to see more of our community having their lives taken in like senseless acts. There's the case mm-hmm. that just came back up of the woman who was basically like the trans woman who was jumped, and they're showing that all over the place. It's just like, when can they just be and just rest and relax, just being themselves? And it's frustrating to see. And if you all think that trans violence is not happening just because they're not talking about it on the news, like, this is why we have this category mm-hmm. to be able to amplify and highlight these stories so that we can take action.
Right.
But rest in power to all of them. All right. So we're going to shift to less shitty news. That was our key shitty news for the day. Had to start off with the information. Our next category is we're talking about some gay sports ball, because a lot happened this week for women's basketball and for women's soccer. So the NCAA women's basketball season is back by popular demand. So first up, we have mm-hmm. South Carolina and Notre Dame. They are playing in Paris. So this is the first time that any NCAA women's basketball team has started their season overseas. And the crowd was lit. Like, it was a packed house. They were moving. It was really funny to see all of the videos that they had of all of the players around Paris mm-hmm. and obviously trying to like try to speak French and seeing all sorts of, you know, different monuments and exploring town. But, you know, a lot of people had some concerns for South Carolina coming into this because they are missing like their, you know, they're like top three people. Okay, we have faces. Like, there are some people who have been waiting in the wings, you know? So, you know, we didn't have Aaliyah Boston. We didn't have Zaya Cook. We didn't have Bria Beal. Like, all of them are playing in the WNBA. And, mm-hmm. you know, some other key players that they had as starters are also out playing in the WNBA as new well. Faces. How dare y'all not?
New and returning. Either.
But overall, South Carolina lost 7 seniors from last season. And those 3 were the core of the tournament. So that's a decent amount. Like, everybody's like, South Carolina is going to be in a rebuilding year. Can we talk about the fact that one of the freshmen that's on there, Dawn Staley, recruited when she was in like 7th grade? Dawn is not new to this. She has been preparing for this. She has been ready. She knows what she's doing and the type of coach that she is. So, you know, South Carolina came out and they came out hot. So the team had opening game. South Carolina beat Notre Dame 171. It was fantastic. Yeah. To give you some background on why this is such landmark growth to not only have the teams going overseas, but also women's basketball in general, the NCAA data showed that 4 programs, South Carolina, Iowa, Iowa State, and UConn, finished with season attendance averages of better than 10,000. A season ago, the Gamecocks were the only ones to surpass that mark. ESPN said after the NCAA tournament that March Madness had the most viewers since 2009, including a record of 9.9 million people tuning in for the championship game against Iowa and LSU. If you want to compare that, the regular season also had its most viewers since 2014-15. They said there couldn't be a better time to do this. To put the 9.9 million into perspective, only 9.1 million turned into the World Series, like, final. So 9.9 million people tuned in to watch the Iowa LSU game compared to 9.1 million. So let's talk about some people who are doing some things on the court. So Camila Cardoso, who was on the team last season, she got to play with Brazil, I believe. And she's come back with some skills. Homegirl came out, had 20 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks. And freshman Malaysia Fulwiley, who is the one that Dawn Staley recruited when she was in like 7th grade, had 17 points to lead the 6th ranked Gamecocks to 100-71 victory. And the way that, one, Malaysia did this whole move as she came in and like faked it in the air, pulled it behind the back, did like a little full windmill up into the layup. Teammates were doing like no look passes behind the back through traffic. They were out here shooting. Like, it was nothing. It was a glorious thing to see for all of those who were sleeping on South Carolina, because mm-hmm. those same people were probably the same folks who thought that mm-hmm. LSU was just going to come in here and sweep everybody, which did not happen because LSU had a big, big loss to Colorado. Now, I watched this game in full. And you would think that with all the people and the new locker room and all the things that they had within the transfer portal as well. They pulled in the second, the number two freshman, the number two ranked freshman joining. And, you know, they had a Haley Van Lith transfer over. It's a star-studded cast. Like, you're basically asking, like, where is the weak link? Apparently, it was in the cohesion. So, the Colorado Buffaloes basically said that their strategy to go against LSU was to focus little on the defensive end and instead leaned in on the fact that they had some shooters on their team. So, after halftime, like, they were back and forth the first two halves. Or the first two quarters, excuse me. The first two quarters, they were back and forth. They were within like 5 points of each other. Somebody would go down. Somebody else would go back up. They were looking pretty decent. Once they came out after halftime, Colorado kicked something on. I don't know what they had. It was like Space Jam when they had water and then they came out and just kind of like took off. We had the Danish international, Frida Foreman, that she just shooting like it was nothing. She nailed four triples in the third quarter alone and finished the afternoon with a career high 27 points. Her mark was also a game high, although center Erinette Von Lay pushed her close with 24 points, being hyper efficient. She was 11 for 15 on shooting. It was Von Lay who provided the assist for Foreman's fourth triple of the period, and that gave Colorado a 14 point lead. And when we started to realize that LSU was not coming back in this game, Van Lith was able to get some shots in. During the final period, Angel Reese had a solid game. Freshman Michaela Williams were in the double figures. Samaya Smith was great off the bench, but Colorado came out hot in the fourth quarter with a 12-4 run and said, we're not letting go of this lead. So congrats to all the women's sports starting off strong. I like when it's not predictable coming into this. It makes it so much better.
For sure. Sure. So it sounded like Colorado just turned it on in the second half. And, you know, there's going to be so many, that 3-point shooting record's going to be broken in the next couple of years. There's going to be so many shooters coming season after season in the college ranks where that little record's going to be toe up.
That little record.
A bunch of Stephs.
Because they really are coming out here. They
shooting. Yeah. From distance. So. Yeah.
Depth, the range. Yeah. It's impressive. But they were, I only got to see the highlights of the South Carolina game, but the way that I follow all sorts of sports on the Instagram, it just made it a lot easier for me to basically see the whole game without having to actually sit and watch the game. But yeah, I did sit and watch the LSU CU game, and it was so funny because you could just kind of like feel that LSU was just not gonna make that comeback. And Kim Mulkey was over there just like, there was a point where she stopped yelling, and I think that was the key turn that we were like, oh, we're not coming back. She was we're not like, coming back from this.
Oh, shit. We're not going to get this. Yeah, it happens.
It does. I was like, I mean, they never really came in saying like, oh, we're going to take everything. So,
yeah,
if people think that,
foolish to think that they would and everything, they had, you know, the perfect storm of things happen in the tournament, you know, for them, and they earned it. But, you know, it's competitive every year. Rooting for South Carolina, but I mean, just rooting for a good college season.
I mean, USC beat Ohio. That's huge.
Yeah.
So that's another game. I was like, we didn't get into that one fully, but, you know, USC came out hot. And I actually think they're going to be great this season.
Yeah.
So. Very excited about all the women's basketball that's going to be happening.
Do you do a fantasy league for that? Is there a fantasy for the college ranks?
Not until,
No.
But then they do like the March Madness brackets, but they don't do fantasy for
them. Yeah, like fantasy.
Yeah, at least I think that's
currently.
There's some like legalities.
They will. I feel like no one is as well funded or has deeper pockets than the gambling agencies right now.
And like, I feel like that's why they can't
commercial.
They can't do it, but doesn't mean that they won't, because those NIL deals came. So
listen, I never thought that they would allow gambling, but they're gonna have to make some rules about it. The NFL already had to like amend their rule of not suspending players who were caught gambling for a full year, because it was like it increased this year after people got suspended for a whole season last season. It was like
And especially now that they're getting all these sponsors that are like DraftKings and things like that. Yeah. They're building all of these new, like the Cubs stadium here just built like a DraftKings sports betting place, like right outside the stadium.
That's crazy.
So it's like, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them.
Have you done DraftKings or any online betting? Do you do that?
It stresses me out.
I just can't yet.
It stresses me out.
I was like, my cousin makes it seem so, I mean, I know there's like easy stuff you could bet on, but I don't know. It's just not there. I'm not there with that where I don't know.
Yeah, it's not my like first thing to be like, ah, let me go in here and like wager against this game. Because I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't need to do higher or lower. Like, no.
All that. You could do, I mean, there's a, you could place a bet for just about anything. Like who's going to win the tip off? Like it's really, you know, I could see where it could be fun, but I just, I don't know. Not there with that. I don't know if I will be. I might do it at some point just to see, but gambling's like, like playing a little bit, little sprinkle of gambling, you know, even in Vegas. And then it's like, okay, that's enough.
You're like, I'm
$40 are gone.
Thank you so much.
The $50 are gone.
I know, even going to Vegas stresses me out. Like I just stand behind my friends and I watch what they do. And it's really funny because all the car dealers and stuff, they all just look at me and I'm like, look, I am just terrified.
I am not helping out.
Like I'm not helping. Ocean's 11. I don't even know how I would be helping to cheat. Like I have to literally sometimes, some of them take it very seriously and they have to look at me and I'm like, I don't even know what's happening right now. And then they'd be like, well, you have to be off your phone. And I'm like, I am on Instagram.
Yeah. Literally. Like, I am not card counting. Okay. I have math anxiety, especially publicly. Like I'm not,
don't know what to do with that here. So
don't want
to
do it.
Thanks so much. So. Like, yeah, I have to tell them that every time I go to Vegas and they just look at me and I'm like, you want me to stand back? Like, what do you want me to do? Cause I'm just letting
not
them
helping
do their
anyone
thing.
Else. Yeah. I would be horrible at that.
Right.
They would ask me, I wouldn't even make the Ocean's 11 team. Like that. They'd be like, I'm sorry. Like maybe we could get a drink afterwards, hopefully, but we are not selecting you for our team. So
thank you for your interest.
Yeah. I was like, not even for a distraction. No, no, we're okay. We're all set. So,
but thanks so much. Well,
they're world-class athletes too. So they, you know, I get it. I get it.
Yes. So yeah, in other news,
tell us about the N-Dub.
Oh my gosh. Justice for Alley Train is continuing. Because truly, we could not have written a better NWSL final. So this weekend, Gotham FC played the Portland Thorns. Gotham FC is the team that Allie Krieger is on. And then OL Reign and San Diego Wave played. And OL Reign is the team that Megan Rapinoe is on. Reminders that both Allie Krieger and Megan Rapinoe are ending. They are ending. They are retiring after they go through the games.
Ending something.
So they're ending.
Yes.
I mean, yes and?
Too soon. I don't know.
Okay.
Grow up.
Figured it might be. So Gotham FC beat Portland Thorns at the Portland Thorns Stadium, which is one of the more hostile, agile, mobile stadiums. And it was downpouring rain the whole time they played. So mind you, Gotham came in as the lowest ranked team in the 6-team playoff field. And they won 1-0. Over the defending champions, Portland Thorns. So the game went into overtime and they put in a veteran substitute in Kate Single. She came in at the top of the box, did a little tap to the left, swung her hips around and got it beautifully in the upper 90 in the left side of the goal. It was fantastic. It was in, I think it was in the second half of overtime or the first half of overtime. And Allie Krieger, of course, had the game of her life. The defense just locked it up, locked it down and said, nope, y'all are not getting back here. While there are opportunities on both sides, that was the only one that made it. Allie Krieger held it down on defense. Like literally they had put their bangers up top. They put Sophia Smith, Morgan Weaver, Crystal Dunn. To have those three and have to play defense against them all at the same time is not an easy feat. And she handled it like the pro that she is. I am so happy for her that she is going to an NWSL final. I truly hope they win. I truly do. I need it. I need it to happen. I need it to happen for her. And then OL Reign won against the San Diego Wave. So they ranked number 4 and they basically like scrape past Angel City to get into this quarterfinal stage or semifinal stage. And also, I also want to point this out off topic, then back on topic. San Diego Stadium was not like set up in that moment for the NWSL game. It still had like the San Diego like State University logos and stuff like faintly painted on there. So it was like
lazy effort.
Okay. You know, they didn't clean up the way that they should have to make this look as fantastic as it was. So while there were a ton of people there hoping that this would be Megan Rapinoe's last game, the rain came through and it was great. It was great to see. So for that game, it was really funny because their goal was definitely not meant to be a goal. It was Lotsko came in on the right side of the pitch and she launched the ball into the box and it just ended up going over Kaylin Sheridan's head because she thought that it wasn't going into the goal either. And it just lofted right over her into the goal. Perfectly hit in the corner as well. So
see a
you know
video of that.
It was beautiful. She just came off and when she was doing the post game interview, she was like, yeah, that wasn't a shot. That wasn't a shot. That was definitely a cross. And I didn't mean for it to go in, but glad that it did, because that means we're now moving on to the finals. So the finals are going to be OL Reign versus Gotham FC. I love this for all of them, but rooting for Gotham.
Couple notes about this segment that and missed, actually, honestly, it's not even notes. It's missed opportunities for me. I wish you would have done that in a British accent this entire segment. Like if you would have described the match, it would have been perfect. Like the Tommy Smith guy we looked up
correct.
Before. It would have been
correct. Okay, so after the final
out there.
Can we
after the final? There we go. Okay. All right.
I'll take notes.
That'd be great. Okay.
Okay.
All right, that'd be
I apologize
great.
To all of our British listeners, but I have been told by at least two British people that my British accent is pretty decent. So I'm going to take
it. It seems
that.
Like it is. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so
seems
much.
Seems like it is. No notes for me. Also, additional note, I had to look up OL Reign again. I was like, where are they?
Oh,
and I was like,
they're in Seattle.
Okay. It was Seattle. It was Seattle. They were the Seattle Reign FC, but OL Reign.
Yes, they got bought out by the Olympics.
By OL Group. Yeah.
Yes, the OL Group. Which now apparently the Seattle Sounders are trying to like buy them back, which I'm just like, if y'all are going to buy them back, y'all better invest in them. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, don't just be out here trying to put money under here just to do it. Y'all better put some actual money behind it.
Come correct.
I'm fully correct.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's sports.
Well.
And now.
How about more? Fun news, U.S. elections. Exactly what y'all were thinking. U.S. elections.
Figured that's what you expected us to pivot to. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Surely we would close out with fun news, even funner news. So yeah, shout out to Virginia. Shout out to Virginia.
Our home state did that.
Yeah. So proud of you.
They
sent Virginia a text and said, proud of you.
Showed out. I was like, you know, I was losing a little faith after the last election. And then this one, they made a comeback.
Swinging on back.
They made
Come
a
on
solid
back.
Comeback. So,
I think they were like, they knew they had fucked up with Youngin. Like,
okay.
Like, oh, shit. How do we do this?
Okay.
Like, surely we're better than this. Like, as Virginia, like, we're better than this. Like, we're past Youngkins, you know, like maybe there's, you know, it's always going to kind of, I feel like always kind of, you know, sway or at least be purple, but surely better than Youngkin.
Like Chris did a little dance.
I did a little
like a
dance
little sway
with
dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that. So I hope that you all have a visual of that.
Yeah. But, proud of Virginia. Proud of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, a lot of,
so if y'all didn't know about Glenn Youngkin, he was basically the very anti-trans Republican, and he became the governor.
Of
Virginia.
Really off of CRT. He was doing a lot of CRT, anti-CRT thing, and like the fear with that, where they're gonna get into our schools and make white kids cry. And it worked. It worked. And he's been like awful ever since he got in, and people were like, "Oh, he's like kind of dumb." Like, how does he? Yeah. So at least with our like Virginia State, we've taken back the power. At least
we got the power. The,
you know, congressional part of the state. He's still governor, but you know, not looking good for him. We'll be able to build that blue brick wall or whatever the brick thing that they do. I was like, okay, I don't know who was the strategist on their team. I don't know if you saw the photo of the two candidates that won. It was this black lady. I got to look up who they were, but they were Northern Virginia candidates that mm-hmm. had won, and they were holding up a blue brick. And I was like, I just wondered about the strategy meeting for like, let's get a blue brick.
Right.
So
somebody said, we're going to make this happen. Yeah. So yeah. Another great thing that happened in Virginia. So not even just that, former delegate Danica Roem became Virginia's first transgender senator and the second out trans person to become a state senator anywhere in the U.S. Hmm. The way that Danica has moved up in the ranks in Virginia politics has been wonderful to see. Like, I remember when we were talking about when she first got on the scene, and now look at her. You know what that
look
is?
At her.
Growth. Growth. And then we also have, and I know I'm probably going to mispronounce this, and I apologize because I wasn't paying attention to Virginia elections, but Rosiah Henson, just won his race for Virginia's HD 19, making history as the first openly gay black man ever, you heard that correctly, ever elected to the Virginia legislature. Rosiah came in committed to fighting for gun safety, legislation, women's rights, and ensuring public schools get the funding they need. So good old Virginia. Good old Virginia. And right up the street.
How do
you? A little further up the street. But right up the street, Philly elected its first LGBTQ plus city councilor. And not only that, they elected their first black woman mayor.
Yeah. Seen
was it mayor
different
or
things about that mayor. Yeah, the mayor, Philly's mayor.
Yes.
Yeah. Where it's like, okay, saw a little stuff, but mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I saw some of my people on my ex timeline that I trust with most things, not comparing the mayor to the brightest of. I saw some Lori Lightfoot Keisha Bottoms comparisons.
No.
And I was like, oh no.
Oh, that's not good, especially because she was a former teacher.
It's not. So,
you think they'll do an iteration of this on Abbott Elementary? Because
we'll see.
The way.
Yeah.
Actually, but that would they be won. Hilarious. To do like what it looks like, because something. You know how like they do the voting booths at schools and what that looks like on like voting day. Mm-hmm. Because it's always chaos. I only know this because always. My mom works in the front office of schools. Like, she's a secretary. And so to see the chaos of that is hilarious. Well, let's hope that that's not the case. But we'll find out very shortly.
Yeah. So Ohio had a shirt up there. Abortion rights in the mm-hmm. state. That's great to see. I think they're also legalized cannabis in Ohio. So
that's a big deal.
Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. In fuck shit, I saw that there were ballots that ran out in a couple of counties in Mississippi.
What?
Because of course. Yeah. And they had the list of them and they were all Baptist churches. And it was just like, I am willing to bet that these are all black Baptist churches. Mm-mm. And the pictures showed that it was a majority black areas. So that's one thing we have to keep in mind for, you know, next year's election and any upcoming elections. I mean, they've been doing that since we've been here. But got to call it out. So, yeah, Mississippi on the same bullshit.
Wow. I was like, Kentucky tried to be on that bullshit as well. Apparently, the American Principles Project, which is very, very conservative, very red, very racist,
it
very
sounds
everything.
Like it.
The name says it all. So Andy Beshear basically won re-election in Kentucky, mm-hmm. but the American Principles Project tried to create a wedge of an issue out of trans kids in the state. They spent $2 million on anti-trans ads, which failed again, because apparently they've done this before. And they tried to smear, like do a full smear campaign and failed. So
imagine what you could do to actually help people with that money.
You know,
They said, let's run it again. No, let's do it again. It's wild, but great. Look, wild, but
also,
great.
Great. Congratulations to us. Even though Mississippi struggled with their ballots, they confirmed Fabian Nelson as the state's first out LGBTQ plus lawmaker. In the 66th district, Mississippi 66th district. Wow, yeah, that's a lot of S's. Wow.
No, you you fought through it though. I was proud of you because I was like, ooh, that would have got me too. You did it. No, you said no. I'm gonna conquer this.
Thank you. Mississippi's 66 district. Ooh. It's the last one. I'm just gonna cut it.
And I'll be like, the Democratic leaders in Virginia with the blue bricks were Scott Sorbell and Mammy Locke. Mm. Just wanted to circle back there. They had a holding up bricks in Richmond as they celebrated. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. I was like, who painted those bricks?
Who did?
Not important. Just in my head right now. Just a thought.
Yeah. Also to know that for Danica Rome, the help of Prince William County, which is the county that I grew up in, helped to bring her to Senate. So it was Prince William County, Park, and Manassas, all areas that I hung out in all the time.
Yeah, y'all are truly bringing the state along. I bet I looked in the 757.
Right.
It's going to look a little red.
That map is going to be a little different.
It's going to be a little red.
Just a little bit. So,
yeah, election results. I actually am very interested. But so funny. We fight down there, but you know, it is the South.
It be like that sometimes.
It's the South.
So, yeah, so that's some really great news that happened in our elections that can hopefully help push things forward in the future.
Yeah,
so
thanks everybody for voting.
Small elections help.
Yeah.
Big changes.
All right. Well, let's move on to our advice segment, Am I Bad Queer? Send your questions to badqueerspodcast@gmail.com to be featured, or you could DM us on IG @badqueerspod. Okay. The first one is from CJ. CJ asks, am I bad queer for being a gentlewoman? Honestly, I like to treat the people I'm dating right. I like to open doors, get flowers, all that. Recently, a person I took out on a date said I was perpetuating the male stereotype by doing all those things, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about that. I didn't think it was bad until they said it. What do y'all think? CJ, you're fine to be a gentlewoman. That person doesn't like traditional gender roles or anything that is close to that, because I don't think being chivalrous should be anything gendered. I think that's nice. It's just, you know, it's a nice, proper way to treat someone you care about. These are things that are associated with like cis men. But yeah, like this is, you know, if that person's not cool with that and it's too traditional, yeah, move on. It's fine. But you're all right. Like that is, there's no harm in being a gentlewoman at all. Mm-hmm. So, and there is someone you haven't met yet or is listening, or maybe you've met them that will appreciate it. So
yes,
you keep being a gentlewoman, polite.
Mm-hmm. I was literally about to say, everybody who's listening to this, do not drop in our DMs to connect with this person. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. And I agree with Chris. Like, I love that there was no pause in the reaction. I think everybody kind of puts in, not everybody, a lot of people think like boo, hiss to gender roles. Mm-hmm. And this could be a bad queer opinion that like not all gender roles are bad, even performed by people who are the opposite gender of the role that it is supposed to be there. And it's like,
you should say that. You mark that down somewhere. You know, that is a good bad queer opinion.
We should have a full talk about that. Because there's nothing, like Chris said, there's nothing wrong with being chivalrous. And it actually changes the game when you are the person to do it. Like, women are supposed to, you know, in stereotypes, we're supposed to be passive and accept all of these things. But when you take charge and actually go and do it yourself, like, you're reclaiming the stereotype, like you're owning it. And I think that's fantastic and kind of you also. Like, that's just showing that you are thinking of the person and are genuinely doing it out of the kindness of your heart and want to treat the person that you're dating well. So go you.
Right.
More people need to be
nothing wrong with that. It's harmless. It's nice. It's polite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, CJ, I hope that helps. Happy holidays.
Okay.
It's funny because we both know that you can't really say that I'm out of line now because we're like, we're in it.
Mm-hmm.
We're in it.
You know, we're solidly into November. So
you're like, I'll give that to you.
You can have it.
Y'all buckle up for however many straight weeks of happy holidays because we're here.
Just for you. Just for you, friend. On to our next one. Our next one is from Kelly. Kelly says, am I a bad queer? I am a queer woman who works as an account executive for a sports team in Texas. Naturally, I'm surrounded by a bunch of very straight white men who don't know the first thing about being queer, and their comments prove that. I want to drown them out every time they start having conversations about anything that is remotely diverse, and their ignorance around LGBTQ plus issues is to the point that a 5-year-old knows better. I speak up sometimes, but truly don't feel they get it. It's hard being in a sports industry and I'm trying to push through, but should I just leave my job so I don't have to be in this space? Or are there other ways to actively ignore my coworkers?
Tell us all this time.
Right? And it's already hard to like be a woman in the sports industry and all of the things that they've historically had to deal with and push through to like get to the points that they are. And even at the points that they are, they're still dealing with a lot of mess and things like that. Like if you ever read like Jemele Hill's book or follow any female sports broadcaster on the internet.
I was
going to
say
like,
follow any female sportscaster on the internet.
Sportscasters, one day, media, journalists.
We have to have a talk about the arc of the love of Malika Andrews and like now the hate.
Oh my
gosh. Can't even report the news.
Okay.
Like, it is ridiculous. Like, yeah, one day. But it is nuts. It is nuts. Like,
yeah.
You could go to any sports show. If there's a woman host or anybody, like, it doesn't matter if they're just a automatic reporter. Automatic hate.
Mm-hmm. And if you have an intersectional identity, worse. Oof. So much worse. Yeah. So I wish I could say that it'll get better. I wish I could. But I think I'll be transparent in the fact that, like, look, it depends on your leadership. And it sounds like your leadership may look and sound like the other people that are there. So if you have an aim for your next role, this is just my opinion. If you have an aim for a next role that you can reach out and touch it and it's about to happen and go through those things, push through, keep to yourself, do the things that you need to, find some other, because, you know, I know account executives kind of end up being like in isolated areas because sales is definitely one area. If you need to go and park it in the marketing department, if you need to go and hang out with like HR or somebody who does events or anything else, like I know you have to go to work in person because they want you on site making calls and things like that. But if there are other offices that you can frequent, I would highly suggest that. Or, you know, don't feel like you have to respond because the guys just won't get it. You can master the art of changing the subject instead of trying to like educate them. And continue to like find ways to like take care of yourself. That's if you wanted to stay. If you have like your dream goal, dream job, all of this is sports. But also, sales skills transfer to a lot of different areas. So if you're just like, oh, this is my job, girl, you could be going and making like double that in tech. And double that in a lot of other spaces and have like less of that like macho energy. I'm not saying it's gonna be gone because it's women in sales and it's hard, but you could go.
And it can still be sports related, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not completely from there.
But for sure. So
everything you said was dead on. But you either have to decide to kind of disassociate from it and use your job for that next step. Like this is just a step in the journey for your professional life. And in the meantime, find your resources, find your tribe. I mean, I wish there was a better word for tribe. Your people. Find your people or person. It could be a person too. And just have like an exit plan in place, even if it is like a year down the line or you're like, by next summer, I'm out of here, you know? you know, just think of it that way. But sometimes it is probably just a page in the book. You're going to leave this job. This isn't your forever job. What I'm assuming, but
find that support, some synonyms,
but you will come into this static no matter what. Like it is a very slow change. It has changed a lot, but it is still slow. Like, you know, objectively, if you take a step back, it should have been way better than it is now for women in the sports space. But you know, it's just one of those things, one of those industries that are slow change, but it's changing. So
yes.
Hope that helps, Kelly.
Yep.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Some other words for you. You know, squad, team.
Squad. There we go. There we go.
I know you were struggling in the moment, but I didn't want to interrupt your flow.
No, it's fine. It's a conversation. It's a conversation.
But you got this, Kelly. I believe in you. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Hope that helps. All right. This last one is from Dre. Dre asks, am I bad queer because I want to tell my best friend's girlfriend that I'm not the bad influence? Her girl is. Is there a way for me to tell this without her knowing it's me? That's funny. I'm always used as a scapegoat for our wild nights out, some of which my friends stepped over the line, in my opinion. And it shows because her girl despises me. Mm-hmm. At first, I didn't care, but now we've been BFFs for 6 years and it does affect how much we can hang out. Of course, I could find other friends, but I don't meet a lot of other dope MOC folks to chill with. Dre. That's a pickle. That's 6 years.
Hilarious.
You know, that's not nothing. That's wow. That's like, a full relationship.
Really hates you.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the scapegoat, God only knows what your friend is putting on you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks that it affects things. And I know that's probably that it seems that is the only reason why you care. Because it's like, how much can you hang out if she despises you and you seem like the loose friend and bad influence?
Not the loose.
So loose. Dre, you either accept that your friendship with your BFF is going to be altered by that and that you'll have to find new ways to communicate and hang out. And if you're okay with that, because that, you know, you might not want like pieces of your friend, basically. Or you can not be friends with it. I think it's fucked up to tell her girl because it's gone this long. It doesn't seem like you have any beef with your friend. So I know you're trying to find a way to tell her without telling her, but it would still backfire on your friend. So, and maybe that's what you want. You want chaos. You want them to break up so that, you know, y'all can hang out unrestricted. But a lot will come with that. You don't know what the fallout from that would be. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess you'd have to decide, do you want kind of a diminished relationship with your friend while the girlfriend is in the picture and what that looks like if they're married? You could also have a conversation with your friend about it. But I guess if you are the scapegoat, then she would have to tell the truth. Mm. So, or find another lie, or, you know what I mean? Which she can't now. Yeah, her girl would catch her in a second. Be like, I knew it. You're lying. You're kind of fucked here because you kind of accepted it already. You would have had to kind of nip that in the bud early on. Like 6 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, like I do think you should still search for other MOC friends to hang out with. I know it's a, you know, when it happens, it happens, but you could also, you know, go to places, more frequent places, try and make an effort to find other friends, but you might have to accept your friendship for what it is and that it's diminished if you want to keep it, because that's kind of a, I don't know, unwritten contract you have with your friend that you were the scapegoat and all that. So yeah, these are shitty cards. Or you don't hang with that friend as much. You just kind of fade away with the friendship if you can't take it. So, but I don't think your friend is going to tell her girl the truth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's right for you to tell her if y'all are truly BFFs. Like, you shouldn't do that to your friend. So I don't know. I don't know. Shayna might want more chaos. What you got for Jerry?
Wow. First of all, I just want to commend you on painting the picture of all of the different things that could happen.
Yeah,
that painted a very clear picture that this person probably has not thought about, because it seems like they have the one track mind of how do I just tell the girlfriend without getting caught, when really the girlfriend doesn't like you. So the other part of this is, what makes you think she is going to believe you after all of these years?
Ooh, that part.
Okay.
There we go.
Especially if like they've been in the relationship for 6 years and y'all have been like besties for 6 years. At this rate, it sounds like it's a lot of fuck shit. So what makes you think she is going to believe you at this point? At this point, you've been undercover for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Too long.
6 years is a long time to go along with that.
Yep.
Like,
so
it doesn't sound like you just found out.
Exactly. So the best case, in my opinion, the best case scenario is going directly to the source and holding them accountable to no longer making you the scapegoat. You have to tell your friend. And maybe they'll feel bad about the fact that they created a rift in a potentially good relationship that you could have had with their partner. Like, do they not care that their partner does not like their best friend?
Yeah.
You can use that line.
That's actually to your point. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the friend to kind of put her foot down about, like, I still want to hang out with my friend. I know you don't like them. What they did was in the past, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Grow the narrative.
Unless they're still blaming stuff on you actively. Yes. But if it has been stuff in the past over those 6 years, and maybe you have a conversation with your friend, mm-hmm. to what Shane is saying, like, maybe it is like, hey, man, you gotta tell your girl at least, like, hey, I'm going to hang out with this friend. This friend means a lot to me. And yeah, again, stuff in the past.
I want you
two
to actually get to know each other and hang out. Yeah. I know that you feel a type of way, but, you know, we're 6 years in and this is a very important mm-hmm. relationship that's not going anywhere. So then yeah. maybe you have a sit down moment with the girlfriend. You don't have to, like, rat out the history at that point, but they can just, like, see that you're a normal person. And then maybe you flip the script. And anytime if the friend does come back and continues to use you as a scapegoat, maybe the girlfriend will sit and do, like, a, you know,
That doesn't seem like Dre. That doesn't seem like the vibe.
That doesn't make sense to me. Type thing. And then you've reclaimed your narrative.
Yeah.
To this person. So I understand that.
Or you don't have to be friends with the girl and you just check your friend about, like, no, you need to, I don't know if I would trust your friend though. What would your friend say to their girl to make sure that y'all hang out for more?
Like, 6 years?
God only knows what that's going
to
be.
That could have been like 25 to like 30 and they're still doing that shit. Like, yeah, there's going to be some changes.
Yeah, friend might. Oof. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. My God. I don't know.
There's so many layers to this.
There's options. I mean, it's just wolf because yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
I don't know. 6 years is a long time to be a scapegoat.
Yeah. And you were dedicated to that. Like, good for you. Mm-hmm. Good for you, I guess.
And I would imagine it because, I mean, you're not friends, and we've talked about this before. You don't have to be friends with your significant other's friends. It obviously makes things easier. It's fun, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But, like, there's plenty of people who aren't friends or that don't fuck with their best friend's significant other, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but despises and then also is limiting you now is like, that's on your friend to fix that, because you shouldn't lose the friendship over their lies. But I don't know if you could even trust that friend to fix it. Like, yeah, woof. Like, what? You could only imagine what they could lie about and say. So yeah, Trey, I don't know. Some options there. It is not the best place to be, but happy holidays. You know, if you didn't think about that, happy holidays.
I cannot. So, wow.
Yeah. Find some more friends, you know, out there. Put your foot down. Don't be a scapegoat again. Don't ever do this again.
The overall lesson is don't be a scapegoat. Don't continue that because it's ruining your reputation. So
yeah. Don't do that. Like, it's
just think of the loyal lies and noble with, like,
I
that's
know.
Hard.
And then the lies they tell you,
damn,
like, I know it feels loyal and to your friend and everything, but, like, yeah, like, see what's happened. Like, now you guys can't hang out as much because mm-hmm. of the lies. So, you know, it's like, ah, damn, you gotta be truthful once, you know? So anyways, I hope that helps everybody who wrote in. That's our advice segment, Am I a Bad Queer? Email your questions to badqueerspodcast@gmail.com to be featured, or DM us on IG @badqueerspod.
All right. What type of bad queers will we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? My bad queer opinion comes from my recent scrolling on the TikTok. Actually, this is my girlfriend scrolling on the TikTok, and I get to watch over her shoulder as she does things. So, one person was telling the story of how they thought another coworker of theirs was also queer because they continued to use the phrase girlfriend to refer to a friend, which we know this is like things that our parents do. This is a thing a lot of straight people do where they just like refer to their platonic friends who are girls as their girlfriends. And then us in the queer community obviously use them as girlfriends. Like, we are fucking, we are dating, we are living together, we are doing the things, we are romantic together. I just want to put a call out to stop it. Stop using girlfriends interchangeably with friends who happen to be girls. I think it's time. I think it's time for the queer community to just fully claim it so that we can have the romance and the straight community who actually uses it as girlfriends so we can claim it. Because it's too confusing. They were put into a situation where it was, oh no, I assumed you were, oh no, I assumed you were, oh, awkward, and now it's awkward in the workplace for them. But in general, a lot of people have this conversation. I know it probably happens way more in the South, in the US. I know that happens in different parts of the world. You're like, oh yeah, that's my girlfriend. And it's like in a gay way or nah.
Right.
I'm not trying to out you to anything else, but I think the queer community needs to claim that as well as the correct version, the romantic side of it for the straights, but us claiming it as our romantic side as well. And we cannot use this in a platonic way any longer. It's just too confusing. We need to move on. We need a new word.
Yeah.
I've decided.
It's time. That, and but y'all can't have girlfriend and partner.
Okay.
Like, it's too confusing.
You can't have both.
Like,
that's yeah, so selfish. Mm-mm.
Just gonna go ahead and give that to us. That's thank you. That's ours. Mm-hmm. Makes more sense.
We'll have the ceremony to officially pass it over.
Plenty of other words. Mm-hmm. Let us have these. Partner, girlfriend.
Ours.
Because boys, cis men don't call their cis male friends. That's my boyfriend. Like,
okay.
That would never.
Thank you for adding to this argument. You have brought up,
you know, even I mean, it's points. A good one. It is. I think that's ours. Like, that should be ours. Mm-hmm. And this was generational because my mom definitely still says that.
My mom does too.
How's your girlfriend Bianca doing? Bianca's friend. Fine. My friend Bianca
my
is
friend
fine.
Bianca.
You know, mm-hmm. is fine. Mm-hmm. She's doing all right. Like, can't just be shouting that out. Like, what's your gay daughter? You're married. You're married. Like you said, gay daughter.
She'd be like, you and Danger,
how's your
girl?
Girlfriend? They'd be like, damn, she got a good relationship. Where am right. I talking about like side chicks with her mm-hmm. mom? And
then you know the gossip would start immediately and then be like, wait, ain't she married? And she got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
All that. Yeah.
It's like she like comes back in like, heard you got a girlfriend. What?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, no, my mom's a boomer. You know. Just happens. Mm-mm-mm. But yeah, that's very true. Just give us that.
Give us it back.
Thank Plenty you so of words. Much. My bad queer opinion is quick and to the point. I don't know if folks were keeping up with this Saucy Santana and DJ Academics feud.
That was a mess.
I'm so sick of the words DJ Academics. He is not a DJ and all he does is instigate, especially with black women. That's all he does is sit on his Twitch and his platforms and says nasty things about black women. He says it about other people too, but black women in particular, he mm-hmm. absolutely does. And he's just this nerdy black guy, big platform. He built it up, but I love when Erykah Badu called him Jerry from Tom and Jerry, because he looks just like him. Anyways,
that's DJ so accurate. Academics,
he really does.
Wow.
DJ Academics was going in on Young Miami this go around, and as Carisha, I hate calling her Young Miami. She's Carisha to me. As Carisha's best friend, Saucy Santana, jumped in, called out DJ Academics for always talking about black women, cussed him out. They went back and forth. DJ Academics was saying homophobic things. Saucy Santana countered, calling him a bunch of stuff. Here's where we can't do. We can't. Yeah, you can't threaten rape, Saucy Santana. Like, you can't. It was in the moment of going back and forth. Nasty things said, but I'm never going to be all right with anybody threatening rape, mm-hmm. which he did. And he's so funny. He's very witty. And I just think we're better than that. Like, it's just like it's a record scratch where it's like, all right, you know, I don't like that it's been weaponized to say like, oh, queer people could say anything and they don't get canceled and blah, blah, blah. Because it's very interesting that cis men only care about rape when another man is threatening it to them. Like, they don't say it for anything else. But when they're being threatened with rape from another man, then they speak out. But I still don't think you should threaten anybody with rape. Just a note there. Like, Saucy Santana is very funny, very witty, as I mentioned. Better things to come up with there. Mm-hmm. So, and DJ Academics, like, you don't even want that, honestly. So just don't do that. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah, not never going to be down with that. Anybody doing that. So,
yep.
That's all.
Simple as that.
That's it.
I like it. All right, y'all, let's go ahead and wrap up the show. But you know, we would never leave you without giving shout outs to our faves. My shout out, I feel like we did this shout out before. I feel like you actually did this, but I'm going to circle back to it anyway.
I don't think so. I think I would have tripped up on the pronunciation.
Perfect.
Of this.
So I thought we had, and I was like, but also we weren't either way. Thought we had. Glad we didn't. Glad we were shouting them out now. So my shout out this week goes to the Lesthetician. Look at me pronouncing so many things today. Yeah, I'm so proud of myself.
It's Mississippi that got you there.
What was it? The Mississippi 66th District.
You had to stumble in Mississippi to walk now. So.
Look, it was the follow up words. Mississippi 66th District. It was the district that really got me. But we made it. Look at me. Yeah, flowing and smoothly. Okay. But anyways, the Lesthetician. They are a Black queer esthetician, lovingly known as the Lesthetician, based in L.A. They prioritize skincare for the LGBTQ plus community, and we're just featured in a wonderful article from them. Basically, they are out here changing trans skincare for the better through top surgery and FFS post-op treatments as their specialty. You can follow them on IG. Hold on, let me make sure. Something tells me I didn't spell it correctly, but we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I got to be careful on that one.
Lesthetician. If you needed to spell it, the Lesthetician, the Lesthetician on IG.
Well done there.
Thank you.
My shout out is to Aja Wilson. She just announced her upcoming book, Dear Black Girls, How to Be True to You, which will be released in February of 2024. The description that they have for it now is, through honest stories and inspiring lessons from her life, Aja Wilson reminds us to never doubt who we are or apologize for being true to ourselves. Dear Black Girls is a must read for every Black girl out there. So be on the lookout for that. Pre-order it if you can. Aja Wilson's new book, Dear Black Girls, How to Be True to You.
Excited to read that. All right, everybody. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Take care.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our Bad Queer soundtrack titled Me Again, and our sound engineer Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. If you enjoyed the episode, please take the time to leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time. It's me again. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.